This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
The Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, we are almost there. The weekend is almost here. One more day and we are home free. And we have a huge show for you tonight. On the world famous, the award-winning Jesse Kelly Show. Don't roll your eyes, Chris. We're going to win awards at some point of some kind if we have to make up our own. We're going to discuss the Insurrection Act, what's happening in Minnesota, and more specifically, what's happening in the United States of America and why we are in perilous times here. Ketanji Brown Jackson on the Supreme Court. People think she's something when she's actually something else. What was DEI that will apply to her? Fraud. We're doing great things to isolate China. Dome is buying a place on the beach. All that. Legal immigration continues to be a huge problem. What is force projection? All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I want to begin with something that you probably were not expecting. And I'm going to go ahead and give the game away a little bit. And I'm going to tell you that this is all going to come down to what is happening in the United States of America, what is happening in Minnesota, what is happening in Minneapolis with the ICE deportations, arrests and deportations, the attempted murder multiple times of ICE officers, the anarchy in the streets, the looting of federal vehicles. This is all going to come back to that. But I got this email, and I'm going to pair it with some audio, so just stay with me here. I'm going somewhere with this. What if ICE agents, the email says, agree to leave their lethal weapons at home if they will be protected by local and state police? They would be able to say, we want to safely remove dangerous criminals. Says it's okay to use his name. He may take what I'm about to say as insulting, which is not how I mean it. So I'm not going to say his name, but I got that email. Okay. All right. Hey, why not just use a burner pistol? You don't need lethal. We'll make an agreement with the cops and the local government. Okay. All right. So I'm going to play you something. Chris and Corey had to do their little nerd thing and enhance the audio a little bit, because what you're about to listen to, allow me to set the stage for you here. There's a dude, looks to be a middle-aged dude, 40s, 50s, who knows? Jeans, button-up shirt. He's in a white SUV, right? He gets out of the white SUV. His car has been surrounded by street animals. They're shouting at him. They believe he is with ICE. I'm going to play it. I want you to listen to it. And then we're about to discuss it. This is in Minnesota, of course. Listen to this.
Yeah, like I said, I don't have to do this. I'm happy to do this. Yeah.
When he says, I don't have to do this, you should know they've harassed him to the point he's standing in the back of his SUV. And he has opened up the back of the SUV to prove to them, I don't have guns. I don't have ICE gear. I have some camera equipment. He's actually gotten out of his car and opened up the doors to show them, trying to prove to them he's not with ICE. So when you hear him here at the opening saying, I don't have to do this, he's just trying to look. I didn't even have to do it, but here's what I am.
Yeah, like you said, I don't have to do this. I'm happy to do this.
Yeah.
That's all. We just got to stop this.
So he's got a lot of camera equipment. I think we can say this isn't
That's one of the communist street animals. She turns to her animal friends and says, so he's got a lot of camera equipment. I don't think he's with ICE.
I tried to tell the first lady, nobody believes me. That's all I can do is tell you. I already shot, listen, first of all, I don't do any of that, but I'm kind. I respect what you are doing.
Here he is. I'm kind. I respect what you all are doing. I didn't have to do that. Talking about open it up. He's trying to reason with them.
Yeah, no. There's, because I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I just don't understand the job. I don't know how to do
it. Were you here yesterday?
Yeah.
Yes, he was here yesterday.
Thank
I
you.
Didn't testify that. I didn't recognize him.
No, I appreciate your help. Thank you.
I'm not here to help you.
No, I
think the fact that you're in a vehicle like this at this time
is... But with all due respect to everybody, I can't help but let it drive.
Hey, I'm just a guy. He even tries to placate them. I appreciate what you're doing. I'm a nice guy. And yet he's surrounded, trying to justify himself to street animals who thought he was with ICE. Now, I know, because you're probably a bit on the hardcore side, probably a bit on the anti-communist side, that maybe you're not filled with sympathy for that guy. Maybe you're filled with disgust right now. What an idiot. What a loser. What a weakling. Why would he even try to appeal to these street animals? But you may be surprised to find out that I do have some sympathy for him. And here's why. One thing I've found fascinating, allow me to sidetrack for a moment. One thing that I find so fascinating about history, and specifically wars and battles and things like that, is this part of the human experience. Human beings who were living normal lives, and then almost overnight, they are thrust into the most horrible, crazy, world-ending scenarios. And how they react in those moments. You're a German citizen in 1935. Wife, kids, you're not a Nazi, you're whatever, you're trying to get by, feed your family. And then one day you live in Dresden, firebombs are dropping from the sky, and you watch your mom burn to death in the streets. What is that like? Yesterday you were at school. Today mom's burning alive. What's that like? I sympathize with that guy, and this is going to come back to the Trump administration and what's going on in Minnesota and everything else. I sympathize with not just that guy, maybe you, if you're going through this. I sympathize in ways with the Trump administration. I sympathize with so many people in our society who just want to be left alone. And they just want to live in the country we had yesterday, the country we had, not even ancient history, the country we had, 1995. Can I just go back to 1995? Yes, there were arguments, and there were Democrats, and there were Republicans, and I understand there were problems, and it's not like the world was perfect back then, but I want to go back to 1995, where I could drive a van through Minneapolis, an SUV, and I won't be surrounded by animals. I just want to be left alone. I'm just a dude. Can I just go to work? Can I rent an SUV? Can I just live in a normal life? I sympathize. Because you can't. You don't want to live in this kind of world, in this kind of country. You want to live in white picket fences. And clean streets, and school, and baseball, and church on Sunday, and you don't have to become some political activist. You don't have to run for school board because your school board's fine. You don't have to get involved. You want to be your dad. Can't you just be your dad? Can't you just be your mom? I just want to make pies. I totally sympathize. I genuinely do. Last night in Minneapolis, I know you've probably heard about it. I know you've probably seen the footage. In case you haven't,
couple things happened last night. You know how we already had the attempted murder of an ICE agent a couple weeks ago? Internal bleeding in his torso because a street animal tried to run him over with her SUV. Well, last night, while trying to apprehend an illegal, the suspect began to resist. This is a quote from an article. This is from The Blaze. Quote, seeing the two men struggling on the ground, two individuals exited a nearby apartment and allegedly began attacking the officer with a shovel and a broom handle, enabling the illegal to break free. The officer, being ambushed by three people, had to pull out his weapon, battered. He's in terrible shape today. Had to fire his gun. He hurt the illegal, shot him in the leg. That, on top of other things. Things like a mob surrounding federal vehicles, pulling the weapons and computers and paperwork out of the vehicles as the feds flee because they're outnumbered. Let's talk about where we are. Not where you want to be or where I want to be. Where we are. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get all your questions. Ask me anything. All 3 hours belong to you. Get your questions in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. What happened last night in Minneapolis? Christy Noem breaks it down.
No plans to pull out of Minnesota.
How would you describe what you were seeing on the ground there? Would you describe it as an insurrection, and do you believe the president should invoke the Insurrection Act?
I describe it as violent and a violation of the law in many places. I discussed with the president this morning several things that we are dealing with under the department and different operations. We did discuss the Insurrection Act. He certainly has the constitutional authority to utilize that.
Okay. What happened?
They were doing targeted enforcement, going after individuals that are breaking federal law. When this individual drove away, crashed his car, tried to run into a home, and as they were wrestling on the ground trying to detain this individual, two other men came out of that building and started attacking him with weapons and shovels and brooms. And as it was 3-on-1, the agent feared for his life and defensively had to take action. But, you know, this kind of violence is perpetuated by what we hear the governor saying, what we hear the mayor in Minneapolis saying, and their irresponsibility is extremely reckless.
Okay. What are we hearing from Democrats today as communist street animals have now tried to murder an ICE agent twice in the last 2 weeks? They have surrounded, looted, and pillaged federal vehicles. They have declared open war on ICE, on federal officers who are in Minnesota trying to deport foreign rapists and murderers. How are Democrats responding?
No, as a matter of fact, it's a dangerous and illegal escalation of the situation. You've got people out there exercising their First Amendment rights in a nonviolent way, as far as I can tell.
Here's Ro Khanna.
Basically, ICE is acting as the private police for the president. They're going and knocking on Americans' doors. They're harassing people in their cars. They have taken over an entire state. Let's stand up for American freedom, for states' ability to have federalism in this country.
Here's Governor Tim Walz.
The federal government is raining down upon our communities. 2,000 to 3,000 armed agents of the federal government have been deployed to Minnesota. Armed, masked, undertrained ICE agents are going door to door, ordering people to point out where their neighbors of color live.
Here's Robin Wansley, City Council, Minneapolis.
And Minneapolis is a testing ground in which he's trying to normalize, legalize these very terroristic actions that's coming from our own administration here in the U.S. that we often see happen abroad, actions that we wage against communities abroad. He's doing that right here in his own homeland, his own country that he took oath to serve and protect.
Here's Mayor Jacob Frey.
Imagine if that city or that town was suddenly invaded by thousands of federal agents that do not share the values that you hold dear.
Here's more Jacob Frey.
And we're in a position right now where we have residents that are asking the very limited number of police officers that we have to fight ICE agents on the street.
What happened last night as a result of all this rhetoric?
And the situation here just continues to intensify. The day that started with a prayer vigil here honoring 1 week since the death of Renee Good ended with another shooting involving a federal agent who DHS says was attacked and ambushed, sparking yet another round of clashes.
Overnight, another shooting involving a federal officer causing chaos in Minneapolis. Protesters gathering at the scene, setting off fireworks and throwing rocks at police.
So let's lay it out as clearly as we can possibly lay it out. Some of this is stuff we've rehashed or will be a rehash of things we've talked about before, but let's lay it out clearly. We have a communist revolution taking place inside the United States of America. Their intention is to destroy everything you know and love. The mass importation of foreigners is a central part of that revolution. In fact, I would say it is the central part of that revolution. Communists would happily give up abortion, gay people, black people, feminists, any parts of the unions, any part of their coalition would be given up if they had to choose between them and foreigners, because foreigners are cheaper, easier, and they're just better to import en masse. They're more reliable voters. The mass importation of foreigners is the central part of the communist plan to burn down America. When Joe Biden took over, he spent 4 years importing as many as he possibly could, including using your money to fly them here. The federal government actually created an app so foreigners could schedule their invasion of the United States of America. Now, it's not just that communists wanted to bring them here. Now communists are desperate to keep as many of them here as humanly possible because they know many of these groups breed like rabbits, and because of our insane laws in this country, every single child they crap out on American soil will have the same rights and citizenship you will have. They will be able to cancel out your vote at the ballot box. Keeping the foreigners they brought here is everything. With it, they cannot lose. If we deport these people, they cannot win. That is what is at stake here. And that is exactly why you're seeing what you're seeing in Minnesota. That is what is at stake. What is at stake is nothing less than the entire United States of America. Where are we going to go from here? That will be determined by the president. We'll talk about that next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now, we just laid out what is happening, why it is happening. Let's talk. Do you know what's actually happening from a 30,000-foot view in Minneapolis, in Minnesota right now? Here's what's actually happening. They're probing the lines. You know what probing the lines means? You can find this in Well, it's all over the place in the history of warfare. I guess I'll probably use Vietnam because that's where terms like that really came. But we would have these outposts. We would have a base of some kind, large or small. We would have a base somewhere. And the Viet Cong were really, really good at infiltrating bases. But they didn't just mass up their troops and charge the barbed wire. They learned very early on. Americans know how to fortify a base. They know how to use sandbags, barbed wire, fields of fire. Americans are very good at that type of thing. So if you find a remote outpost somewhere, you don't mass up the troops and send them all in on the first night. You know what you do? You probe. You probe the lines. You attack this part of the line one night and then another part of the line the next night. And you can fool yourself if you're inside of the base. You get one of these attacks and then you push it back and you fool yourself into thinking they attacked us and we won. But they did not attack you. They were probing the lines. They were figuring out what your response would be, how quickly you will respond, how vicious your response. Are you ready for an attack here? Are you more ready here than you are ready there? They're probing the lines, gearing up to do what they actually want to do, and that's attack the base, overrun the base, and slaughter everybody inside. What's happening in Minneapolis right now is not about Minneapolis. It's not about Minnesota. It is about the entire United States of America. It's about you and where you live and me and where I live. What's happening right now is communists have spent a fortune to organize street animals in Minneapolis, and they're finding out, what can I get away with? How far can I take this? Can I? What will they do if I drive my car at them? What will they do? And you've seen all this video. This has all happened in the past couple of weeks. What will they do exactly if, let's say, he's holding a big pepper ball gun and I grab it? All right, I grabbed it. Can I grab it twice? I grabbed it twice. He didn't do it. Can I grab it a third time? Oh, on the fourth time, I got shot in the face. Okay. All right. What will they do if I grab a snow shovel and a broom handle and I start trying to beat one of them to death? Will they gun me down? Wound me? Arrest me? Let me go? What will they do? What will they do if I gather 10 friends in their cars and I box them in the road? Lock them down so they can't deport rapists and murderers? What will they do? What they're doing in Minneapolis right now, in Minnesota right now, is probing the lines. They're figuring out what we will do and what we will not do. There's been all kinds of talk from the Trump administration today, and do not take this, because that's not how I mean this, as an insult to them, because I'm looking at a headline right here. U.S. sees negative net migration for the first time in 50 years. There are great things happening. Great things happening. But I hear Trump put something out on social media today. If you keep this up, Insurrection Act. If you keep going, Insurrection Act. Christy Noem, I played it earlier. She talked to him about it today. Well, I talked to him about the insurrection.
No plans to pull out of Minnesota.
How would you describe what you were seeing on the ground there? Would you describe it as an insurrection? And do you believe the president should invoke the Insurrection Act?
I describe it as violent. And a violation of the law in many places. I discussed with the president this morning several things that we are dealing with under the department and different operations. We did discuss the Insurrection Act. He certainly has the constitutional authority to utilize that.
Okay. What we allow in Minnesota right now will be repeated in California. It will be repeated in Chicago. It will be repeated in Washington. It will be repeated in Massachusetts. It will be repeated each and every place ICE surges into to grab illegals and deport them. And we haven't even begun deporting the next tier of illegal, which must be deported. Right now, they're focusing on the guys with the rap sheet as long as a CVS receipt. That is just step one. Remember, we have 50 million foreigners to get out of the country. Even if we call it 20, we haven't even begun the appetizer phase yet. And right now, if you're a communist, an elite communist, or a street communist, are you afraid? Put yourself in their shoes. Are you afraid to continue doing what you're doing? We have heard things like Antifa is a domestic terrorist organization, right? We have heard warnings, if you keep this up, I'm going to do the Insurrection Act. We have heard warning after warning after warning. But these people don't seem to be getting the message.
The federal government is raining down upon our communities. 2,000 to 3,000 armed agents of the federal government have been deployed to Minnesota. Armed, masked, undertrained ICE agents are going door to door, ordering people to point out where their neighbors of color live.
You know why they're not getting the message? Well, don't take it from me. Take it from somebody who knows communism better than you and I will ever know communism. See, Alexander Solzhenitsyn found himself a resident of the Soviet gulags. He lived under every horror of communism you can possibly imagine. Do you know what he had to say about it? Quote, "During my time in the camps, I got to know the enemies of the human race quite well. They respect the big fist and nothing else. The harder you slug them, the safer you will be." Just like that normie at the beginning of the show who just wanted to drive his SUV and he didn't understand why he couldn't just go to work and why do I have communist street animals around. Donald Trump wants to run the country right. He wants to do the right thing. He does want to become, and frankly, I think he already is, a great president. He wants your life to be better and my life to be better. He just wants to operate in a normal world. He doesn't want to do the Insurrection Act. He doesn't want to send United States Marines marching through America's streets. He doesn't want things to escalate. And man alive, I so sympathize. I so get it. Imagine achieving all he's achieved and finding out now you have to do things that are tough. But that's not the world in which we live. We have to reside in the world that's been given to us. The time to send in the Marines is now, because the communists in California are taking notes. The lines have been probed, and right now, the communists like what they see. It's time to chalk up. That's what we'll call it from now on. We're going to call it chalking up. No, I don't mean throwing those little blocks behind your tires so your truck doesn't roll down the street and smash into somebody's Volkswagen Beetle. It's time to load up on male vitality stacks and get your T levels up 20% in 90 days, because the times that are coming are going to be rocky times as we navigate the cultural revolution. So I think maybe we should go to an anti-communist company like Chalk and start getting our T levels jacked through the roof, so we are energized, focused, and ready for what is to come. Go start your 2026 now. You are 60 days, 90 days away from feeling like a brand new person. Ah, but I'm old. I'm supposed to be tired. Nope. Just try it. I'm asking you, if you don't feel better in 90 days, cancel your subscription. Please do. Chalk doesn't even, it's not like they make it hard. They say, okay, thanks. Thank you. They know it works. I'm a 4-year proof that it works. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, a fantastic Thursday as we churn and burn. And look, what are we doing? We're just, as we're talking about saving America, we're also biding our time until tomorrow, which is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, the greatest day of the week. And you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. In fact, let's clear some room out in the old emails, shall we? Jesse, he says, hey, Frito and bean dip guy, that hot bean dip, I'm telling you, is legit. Chris, is it not? See, Chris knows. Corey, are the vibes okay? Sorry. Well, on a previous show, you mentioned the possibility of communists finally seeing the light and realizing that everything they've stood for and believe in has been wrong and immoral. You were completely right, as I have personally seen this in my own family. Serious question. Why haven't we seen any elected officials in politics reach that realization and come out and just say, here is what is really going on in the Democratic Party that you don't know? Thanks. Okay, why haven't we had a Democrat come out and say, hey, I've been in a cult. Our people are in a cult. They believe a bunch of things that aren't real. It's really bad. All right. So there's a couple different aspects to this. First, we've talked many times before about the system. Let's recap it in 30 seconds here. Once every single significant institution in society is conquered by the same sick religion, communism, then it becomes the blob or the cathedral or the system, whatever word you want to put on it. But all that stuff aside, we can go into the backstory of that, but not right now. All that stuff aside, what it means is this. Human beings, all of them, you, me, the politicians we see on TV, everybody, they all are aspirational in some way. Now, we all aspire to have something different. Maybe you want a bass boat one day, a bigger kitchen. Maybe you want $1 million, a promotion at work. Maybe you want 10 kids. You want to be an elder at church. I don't know, but all human beings are aspirational. How it works in our country now that communists have conquered all the major institutions is, in order to access so many of the finer things in life, you have to become, if not a complete ally to the system, you can't become an enemy of the system. You see, you look, it's not even that you can't be a Republican, but if you're a Republican, you can't push too hard against these institutions, or the result of that will be you, your family, you will not be able to access the finer things in life. For instance, who's a good senator? Chris, do we have any? There are a couple of the good senators. Who are the senators I like? There's like two of them. No, there's like five of them. Ron Johnson. Actually, Ron Johnson's a great example of this. Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Ron Johnson is awesome. Ron Johnson wants what you want. Ron Johnson, he will bring up things like Big Pharma, the COVID vaccine. Ron Johnson has raised serious concerns about the FBI, about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, about the 2020 election. You know what the result of that is going to be? Not that he cares. This is why I give him credit for it. When Ron Johnson retires being a senator, there will not be a $1 million a year job waiting for him with a lobbying firm in Washington, D.C. His daughter-in-law, his son, his second cousin's uncle is not going to get that $250,000 a year job with a defense contractor or whatnot. Ron Johnson, because his stance is against the system, is just going to have to retire to Wisconsin with his family, and he's not going to have access to things that Lindsey Graham will have access to. Lindsey Graham's a Republican. Lindsey Graham fought very, very hard to get Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. Every now and then he's on our side, right? But Lindsey Graham can always be relied upon to ensure the swamp stays as swampy as possible. What does that mean? Lindsey Graham's cousin doesn't ever have to be out of work. Lindsey Graham's children. I guess a wife probably isn't in the cards, but Lindsey Graham, and I'm sure he doesn't have children. I'm not sure how he would have made that happen, but you understand what I mean. Lindsey Graham, if Lindsey Graham retired tomorrow, Lindsey Graham would go have a six-figure job at Raytheon like that. Because Lindsey Graham has proven to be an ally of the system. If you're a Democrat politician, this guy asked, hey, why don't they come out and say you're in a cult? You got to stand against it. You got to walk away. Look, if you're a Democrat, you can walk away. You can retire. You can even do the John Fetterman route. I'm not one of the bad ones. Every now and then you'll say something people on the right like. You can get away with that. But what you cannot do is become a mortal enemy of the system, or there will be roadblocks up in front of you you cannot get around for the rest of your life. If I told you right now, and I know you would want to do the right thing, and I would want to do the right thing, if I told you right now, hey, I need you to make some sacrifices, some moral sacrifices. Vote for a couple things you don't want to vote for. Say a couple things you don't want to say. Already, I know what you're saying. Jesse, I would never. But if you do, none of your family members will ever be out of work again. And when you retire, you'll make $500,000 a year doing basically nothing. And all I need from you is little vote here, little vote there. All I need from you is just don't make yourself my enemy. Do you really think you could resist that? I hope you could. I hope I could. But that's what we're up against. All right, let's talk about DEI. It's actually right along these lines. What was it really about? Next.